At this time, we'll start our service with opening words read by Bill Parmenter.
Opening words for today from Steve Biko, a prominent figure in the Southern African Liberation Movement, who said, "It is better to die for an idea that will live than to live for an idea that will die." Maybe.
Well, we are so happy that our speaker is here. Our speaker is Malele Chikasa Anana. She first came to Madison in 1968 as a UW faculty wife, and she didn't think she was going to like it very well, but she integrated herself into our society here. Before that, she was an activist in the Roxbury section of Boston, working with the NAACP and for alternate schools for black children that were barred from public schools. In Madison, she demonstrated for a Department of Afro-American Studies at the UW, and she's been a publisher, is now publisher, I believe, still, of Umoja magazine, and is one of Madison's most visible civil rights activists. She's been Madison's affirmative action officer. She's been the interim director of the Madison Equal Opportunities Commission and was the first African American to serve on a Wisconsin school board. So she has a lot of firsts, and we should be grateful to her for those things. Last year, she received Madison's Dr. Martin Luther King Humanitarian Award. That was January 2009. She wasn't here to receive it because she was at the Obama inauguration celebrating. So with no further ado, I want to invite Malele Chikasa Anana up to the podium to tell us about Kwanzaa.
Thank you very much. Yes, you can call me an ecumenical person. I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness. And then in my early adult life, I became a Quaker. And I just returned from this morning from the Mount Zion Baptist service. So I can appreciate what you're doing in the way in which you worship. The other thing I heard you talking about family, and you know, the holidays are just a wonderful time to spend with family. And because everything fell on a weekend this year, it just kind of seemed to fit in place, didn't it? You know, we had longer weekends, and we slept with the grandchildren and just let them stay up a little longer and had lots of fun. I heard you say that I was in Boston, and Boston was a very harsh place, believe it or not, the city of freedom for black people back in the 50s and the 60s. And there was a woman named Louise Day Hicks who was very adamant about maintaining inferior schools, not just segregation, but inferior schools for black people. And I remember that the school called me one day and told me that my Kathy, who is now 50 some years old, told me that Kathy was retarded and that I should just sign the paper right here. The doctor had already certified it and that everything would be all right. And in my civil disobedience, I refused to sign the paper. That Kathy went on to Stanford University. And Kathy is now the mother of six children. One is a graduate of Berkeley in electrical engineering and computer science and works for, I think it's Yahoo. And the other one is majoring in organic chemistry. And the third one is majoring in physics. So that's what comes out of retardation. Unfortunately, we have had to fight some unjust battles all of our life and go through some struggles. We'd rather not have them. But my pastor always says that you can't have a testimony without a test. And So I truly believe that you are strengthened by the by those crucial moments in life, when those moments when you want to say, why me? Why do I have this burden? Do I have this disease? Why was I put here in Madison? You know, whatever the why is, you can create a testimony out of that and indeed a vision. I will be always eternally grateful to Dr. Malina Karinga, who established Kwanzaa. Yes, the papers with the seven principles are moving around. Yes. The seven principles are the core of Kwanzaa. And I and the publisher of Umoja Magazine, and every December, our theme is Kwanzaa. So we always have something about Kwanzaa and how to celebrate it and so forth. I started Umoja Magazine.
Did you hear the definition?
Kwanzaa is a Swahili word that means a celebration of the harvest, bringing in from all our labors during the year. It's Kwanzaa time. The Swahili version, it has one A. The African American version has two A's, because Dr. Karinga was talking to a group of children one day, and he had each one to represent the Kwanzaa alphabet, and he had seven children, but there was only six letters. So and there it is. You're called upon to create something out of wherever you stand. He did a lot of research of African traditions and African-American traditions, and came up with this holiday, which is not a religious holiday, but it is a time of celebration. And what it does is to affirm values that all of us can encompass and embody on an everyday basis. It's just amazing how these principles are. And Peter asked me to relate them to the principles of the Unitarian Society, and it's amazing how they're so similar. It's different words, but you know, almost the exact ideas, a duplication of values. Umoja means unity, to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. And these principles are so important because everything around Kwanzaa is based on that. There are just two main components of Kwanzaa. One is learning, reciting, and using the principles. And the other one is the lighting of the Kwanzaa candles. It's sitting there right in my house. I had it ready for about a week to bring, but then I just walked out this morning and didn't bring it. But it is a candelabra, much like the Jewish candelabra, only it has seven instead of nine. And it has red, black, and green candles. And every day, one candle is lit until at the end of the week, there are seven candles. Of course, this is very impressive with young children. And they like to do Kwanzaa. The other thing is, there are lots of Kwanzaa books around. Probably about 30 Kwanzaa books have been written. And probably about, I would say, 10 additional books for children from kindergarten on through age 12. And the other thing is that Kwanzaa is over 50 years old now, so there's quite a bit of Kwanzaa stuff on the internet, I notice. And they're getting so that they have Kwanzaa activities and Kwanzaa days and so forth. What people do is celebrated in one or two ways. They celebrate it either as an individual or a family gathering or a big community gathering. So for the individual family, what you would do is set up your Kwanzaa table, and you'd have seven items on that table. Kwanzaa is 7 days, there's seven names, and there's seven principles. And so on the table you would have the Kanara, the candelabra, is called, the candelabra is called the Kanara. And you have the seven candles, and you have a fruit, a basket of fruit to represent the harvest. You have some kind of colorful mat on the table. You have a libation cup, which is used to pay tribute to those who have come before us and laid the ground. And you have two other things. One is called the Zawadi, small gifts. Kwanzaa tries not to be commercialized. And so the whole idea is to encourage children or family members to do something personal for one another, like, you know, make your favorite food or get you a flower that you like or something of that sort. And the last one is very important. Corn, ears of corn, dried corn laid on the table. And each ear represents a child in the family. So if you have six children, you'd have six ears of corn. If you have no children, you can have as many as you want to represent the community of children around you, your nieces and nephews, or the children in the community. This ceremony is done every day as each candle is lighted. Then one of the principles is discussed. So starting with Umoja and ending with Amani. And the kids are encouraged to say what that principle means to them or how they demonstrate it in their life. If you have a community gathering, what will happen is that you'll have just a slightly more formal program with maybe some dancing and some singing and that kind of stuff. But always the lighting of the Kwanzaa candles, which is very beautiful, and a discussion of what those principles mean. And the libation is very important in the community gathering because people call out the names of the ones they've lost, and that makes it very special. So the lighting of the candles, the libation, and finally the food. Have a big buffet of food at the community gathering. So that's how Kwanzaa is formally celebrated. Probably 15 to 20 million people throughout the United States celebrate Kwanzaa each year. And it's a growing tradition. Lots of schools are beginning to celebrate Kwanzaa and talk about Kwanzaa simply because of the values that Kwanzaa represent. I mean, you look at these values and who would not embrace them? The second one is called Kuji Chakalia. I'll help you pronounce that. Kuji Chaka Lia. Kuji Chakalia. And to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, speak for ourselves, instead of being defined, named, created for, or spoken for by others. And I often think that the people who are continually demonstrate against war in this country demonstrate or exemplify Kuji Chakalia, because it's very hard to be against war and not also be seen as not patriotic. And this Umoja is a magazine where I've decided that I give you a relief from war and crime and lots of other sensational stuff. I only do positive stories in Umoja. And one of them for January is about Will Williams, who lives in DeForest. And he was part of the documentary that just won a Emmy Award, The Good Soldier. And his story is very interesting because he went into, I think it was the Vietnam War, very, very gung-ho, very militant, a soldier. As a matter of fact, when his first tour of duty was over, he re-enlisted because he was so mad at the anti-Vietnam demonstrators. So, you know, he was pretty angry to, you know, sign up again.
I said he's done a complete about
face. Yes, and yes, and now the third phase of his life is he is anti-war and particularly strong against having a military presence in our high schools and getting kids to sign up for the military almost under duress. So he is a shining example of Coochie Chakalua. Ujima means collective work and responsibility. To build and maintain our community together and to make our sisters and our brothers' problems our problems and to solve them together. You've been on the road, the journey of justice long enough, the journey of having every human being be treated with dignity, that you very well understand that. As I was driving along East Washington this morning, there were three or four people huddled outside the building in the cold and gave me a chance to stop complaining that my car was just warming up. And so when we think about organizations like Doctors Without Borders and the Salvation Army and what they have to do to maintain their work, and I like the idea of the red cattle, but you know, there are enough profits made in this community and in every community that the corporations could write them a check for whatever they're doing. Right. Now, our ultimate goal is to not have homelessness as an institution in our nation. It just goes against the grain of the American life and the abundance that we have. And I see that we're institutionalizing homelessness, homeless clinics, homeless shelters, homeless schools, homeless children, this and that. That's our ultimate goal. But while this experience, unfortunately, still exists, it is up to us, I think, that we give those institutions and organizations enough money to do an adequate job of providing shelter. Ujamaa means cooperative economics. That's perhaps one that doesn't come up so often. To build and maintain our own shop, stores, and other businesses, and to profit from them. So you see, he had sort of a worldwide vision here. A lot of people are up in arms because we've lost so many manufacturing facilities in this country, and that we have allowed corporations just to take over our neighborhoods and our cities. I remember when Milwaukee was called a city of neighborhoods, because in the neighborhoods you had the factory where the parents walked to work, you had the school where the children walked to work, and you had the grocery store where they bought their groceries, right? And you had the church. And that defined their neighborhood, right? You no longer have that. And I think that's why efforts like Buy Dane, Buy Local have come up. Because we need to understand that I depend on you and you depend on me for our existence. And that if we can buy food from a farmer who farms in Lodi or McFarland, we're helping that person to maintain dignity, give them a income. And we know where our food comes from. I'm just about done with shopping at the grocery stores because I just don't understand where this food comes from. Did you just read about the hamburger where it goes through ammonia tunnels? I said, my God, hamburger. And I just thought they just took the leftover meat and ground it up and packaged it. But it's not quite like that. So I think things like the Buy Local and the farmers markets are good. And we not only have the central farmers market, but we have farmers market in almost every neighborhood now. I think there are about 14 or 15. There's one in South Madison. There's one on the north side. I live on the north side.
Also CSA.
And the CSAs, right. I think those are going to improve. But there is a way for us to take care of one another and to use the materials of whatever physical environment we're working in. One of the articles that I'm writing on beside Will Williams in the January issue is on architects. And I interviewed 6 architects. My magazine is targeted towards black people. I was trying to get away from having black people appear only as athletes or as criminals in the news. So I do the in-between. So I found 6 black architects, which everybody is surprised, in Madison. And I asked them a series of questions. And one of them was, how important is LEED or green energy in your work? You got to ask that question of an architect, you know? And so the architect who grew up in Africa says, you know, this is not a new concept. People all over the world use materials that are present where they live. And that's why houses look different in Africa or Australia than they do in Wisconsin. You see, because all over the world, people build houses out of whatever is available for them. And they build it in terms of efficiencies and, you know, the wind and the energy, and it's positioned, right? I mean, they know what they were doing, but somehow or another, when America grew up, we got away from that idea.
Right.
And so I was kind of impressed with his answer. NEA means purpose. To make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. I do think the American idea, like the Wisconsin idea, is a great concept. I'm very proud to be an American. When I went overseas for the first time in my adult life, I was shocked that other people knew how to do things besides Americans. You know? It was just like, wow, these people solve problems and they don't need our help and they haven't asked any questions of us, right? But you do get a sense that there are alternative ways of living, of expressing yourselves, of working with time, for example. You know, this 9-to-5 is strictly a Western idea, I think. I don't think anybody else lives like that. You know what I'm saying? So I learned a lot by going overseas. So I went back 5 times because it just made me enlarged as a person. So how I was relating that to NEA is to the traditional greatness. America is a great country. I think we sometimes stray away from those ideals. But we started out as a country to work together, to be one nation. That was in the Constitution. And it hasn't changed, those words. The preamble hasn't changed, the Constitution hasn't changed. And that gives you a sense of how our American ideal is universal and sturdy and will last across generations. And I think Kwanzaa will last across generations. And when you have your principles of the Unitarian principles, they are written to transcend generations. They're good for your children and they're good for the grandparents, for us grandparents, I should say. Kuamba means creativity, to do always as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. I love the word inherited. We didn't create anything here. It was our legacy. And of course, this works right into the environmental, new environmental mission that we have of being more efficient and living more simply. But this word reminds us that we didn't create anything. We need to just sustain it in the best way we can. Imani means faith. To believe with all our hearts in our people, in our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. You can't get much better than that, to have that self-confidence that we are doing the right thing, that we are good people, that we can live together in a peaceful way. And it is our obligation to try to live in a harmonious way with others and to respect other people. It's taking us a long time to get to live out our ideals, to live out the ideals of the Constitution, of Kwanzaa, the Unitarian principles, the Kwanzaa principles, but they're all worth working for. And Imani says that we must have the faith that we will get there, that we are going to stay on journey, we're going to stay on task until our principles, the only thing that matters in life, because it doesn't matter what you look like, or it doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, but it does matter what principles you live by. Thank you.
Our closing words will be given to us by Rick Recking.
A movement exposes people to all different kinds of people, which creates an environment in which local people are expected to take ownership over what they are doing and to grow as leaders.